Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
Earlier this week, Savannah became the first major city in Georgia to reimpose a mask mandate, followed closely by Atlanta. Both mandates aren't quite as far-reaching as previous ones, with Savannah only requiring masks in city buildings and businesses with especially vulnerable populations, such as hospitals and child care centers. Atlanta went a step further, requiring them in indoor public places like stores and restaurants. Following Savannah's decision, Mayor Kelly Gertz initially said that there was no immediate plan to reissue a mask mandate here, but the commission could vote to do so in the future. Here to talk about that, plus the rest of the weekend news, are Blake Odd of Flagpole, Chris Dowd of Athens Politics Nerd, and Gwen O'Looney of WXAG. So welcome back, everyone, and let's just get your take on this. How likely do you think we are to see Athens reinstitute a mask mandate of our own in the near future?
I think they probably will. I'm not sure. There's been a lot of confusion about this. The mask ordinance had a sunset provision that it was no longer in effect when Athens dropped below 100 cases per 100,000 people over the past 14 days. And that's a pretty common metric that's used to measure the spread of COVID in a community. So we've been below that threshold since back in May. So the mask ordinance has not been being enforced. And even some of the commissioners thought that now that we're back above 100 again, we were at around 128 or 129 the last time I checked. Even some of the commissioners were under the impression that it would kick back in, but the mayor told me that it doesn't automatically kick back in. So the commission, I think there would be some appetite to probably bring it back, but the commission is going to have to take action on that to do so. I do know that on Tuesday that they're going to bring something forward to require Athens Clark County employees to be vaccinated. That's going to be on the agenda on Tuesday, but I haven't heard anything for sure about the mask mandate being put on the agenda for the voting meeting on Tuesday.
I think that that they probably will follow the trends across the country in most progressive places.
Yeah, we really need to institute this mask mandate again. The numbers are going in the wrong direction. I mean, I'm so tired of talking about this. I'm so tired of worrying about this, but it's the right thing to do. We have to do what we can to stop this disease. It's a deadly disease, and it's not gone. It's coming back. We have to do whatever we can do to stop it.
Yeah, this really reminds me of last summer. The trends look an awful lot like they looked when the governor started lifting a lot of COVID restrictions back in June of 2020. And we all know what happened after that. We had a huge spike. We had a spike in June, and then it kind of plateaued. And then we had another huge spike when the students came back in August. We were at that point in the top 10 of all the counties in the country in terms of COVID cases per capita. And we're going in that direction again. And this Delta variant is much, much more contagious than the original virus. And anyone who's unvaccinated is really putting themselves at risk of serious illness. The hospitals are filling up again. And that means that even if you are vaccinated, if you have another kind of health issue, you're going to have a hard time getting admitted. So it's a problem for everyone. And the longer this goes on, the more likely that some sort of mutation is going to arise that the vaccines are not going to be effective on.
We've got football getting ready to happen. You know, August is students back. Athens doesn't have a choice.
We need the university to show some leadership here too. What we're seeing with Delta is more serious for young people. And we're seeing a lot of 20-something people show up in the hospital now because of Delta. So the university really needs to step up here, I think.
They have to follow, though, the USG guidelines, right? They can't act unilaterally. They can't be tougher than what USG puts in place.
They can't require it, and I think they should require it, but the USG has said they're not going to require it. And I know that UGA has no authority to go against that, but They need to do whatever they can. It's very important for them to do anything that's within their power to do to encourage students to get vaccinated.
I completely agree. Like, we need to see some leadership here. This is important.
Let's switch gears here. The commission is getting closer to passing its anti-discrimination ordinance, which I understand has been in the works for a long time. Chris, do you want to fill us in on the history of this effort and tell us where we are now?
Right. Yeah. So you might remember the protest in 2016 against the bar downtown, General Beauregard's. It's a Confederate theme. And word has it, they were serving a drink with their racist name. And there were protests, like hundreds of people got out in the streets protesting. And this is how the Athens anti-discrimination movement was born, actually. And so at that time, AADM had two major demands. And so the first one was a human rights committee that would hear discrimination complaints. And then the second was an anti-discrimination ordinance that would be enforceable. And so they could hold the violators accountable. And so the Human Rights Committee is still being worked on, but the anti-discrimination ordinance is actually complete. And the commission is going to vote on that next week. And I believe that's going to pass. So this is all very exciting to me.
Georgia is one of only 20 states in our nation that have no state anti-discrimination law. And that means that people have to make any complaints, file complaints with the feds, which is a long and expensive process, very sophisticated and discouraging to most of the people that are discriminated against. So I think that this gives us an excellent opportunity. It'll be interesting to see how realistic the implementation is, as the $1,000 fine that can only be applied three times before the person loses their business license. Of course, this does not apply to state agencies. This is only related to local agencies and not to private clubs like the country club, not to religious institutions, the normal things that anti-discrimination laws are modeled after.
Yeah, this one was modeled in particular after one in Brookhaven, I believe, that has withstood some legal scrutiny. So it seems like it's on pretty solid ground. But I mean, Gwen's right. It's not probably not as far reaching as some would like. And the real question is, it sounds like it's got some teeth in it. You know, if you're a repeat offender, you can lose your business. That's a pretty serious penalty. But you know, what kind of resources are going to be put into enforcing it is really kind of the question.
Yeah, I agree. So it will, you know, prevent discrimination, from a long list of things, you know, race, color, religion, national origin, sexual orientation, a bunch of things. And it will prevent discrimination in employment, employment benefits, public accommodations, and housing. But there are some things that it doesn't cover. So they weren't able to put protections for immigration status, like undocumented immigrants, like that had to be left out because there's just no legal protection for that, unfortunately. And something else that was kind of big that they had to leave out was for hairstyles, even though to me, this definitely should fit under racial discrimination if you're, you know, refusing to hire someone if they have dreadlocks, for example. But there's been a recent federal court case that's upheld the right of employers to discriminate against people and refuse to hire them if they have dreadlocks. So because that was so recent and so specific, they didn't put in any protections for hairstyles in there. They just thought it wouldn't hold up.
And finally, before we go, the deadline to submit a proposal for T-SPLOS projects is coming up August 15th. I want to ask each of you, what would you like to see passed?
Well, I love the emphasis that I believe will happen on public transportation. And I hope that we will really do a better job of making biking safe throughout our community. We're trying, but we haven't gotten there.
Yeah, I would love to see support for fare free transit, to have like a continuing support for that in T-SPLOS. And also, you know, completing the Firefly Trail, I think would be great. And just sidewalks and bike lanes in general.
Yeah, I agree with all those things. I think we should do a green tea splost. If it were up to me, I would not want to see any money spent on roads. I would want all of it spent on completing the bike lane network, completing the sidewalk network, and especially more convenient, more frequent transit, things like bus rapid transit, which is sort of like light rail on wheels, where you have regular service, you have platforms, you can pre-buy your tickets. You know, I could see something like that on Atlanta Highway or Prince Avenue, you know, almost like a trolley system, but cheaper. So those are some of the things that I'd like to look at.
You just heard from Gwen O'Looney with WXAG, Chris Dowd with Athens Politics Nerd, and Blake Odd with Flagpole. I'm Alexia Ridley with more Athens News Matters after the break.